Today on Real Radio.
Give them all your reasons why you would never step foot in a church again, because a Sunday school teacher hurt you, or a pastor hurt you, or somebody in the pews hurt you. And Jesus says, what does that have to do with the price of tea in China? He wouldn't say that, but what does that matter?
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his series simply called, Why Should I? Now, in this collection of lessons, we're learning how Scripture answers questions like, why should I worship? Why should I fast? Why should I pray? And so on. Today, we continue with the opening lesson, the title of which you got to admit is essential to our spiritual growth. It's called, Why Should I Go to Church? Here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
Come back. Come back to his arms. I'm not saying come back to this church. You can come back here if you want, or you can go here or come here if you want. That doesn't matter at all. You got to go back to him, the Lord Jesus. Go to him. He loves you. He's waiting for you. Well, second point this morning, why should I go back to church? Number two, it's for this reason, because it's God's business that we're to belong to. It's God's business that we're to be doing. God's business. God's business. You know, God has a plan for your life. He really does. I know some people make light of that. What's God's business for me? He has a specific plan for your life. Listen, whoever you are, your name, who you are, God knew the day that you were going to be born, the very moment, your hair color, your eyes, your size, where you would live in the world. God knew. He didn't make a mistake. He knew. And every situation that has happened in your life, he's known. And for some, you might say, then why didn't he intervene? Why didn't he help me when I was calling out to him? Listen, I don't understand the mind of God. No man can. But I know this, that whatever has happened to you and I in our life, God will take what Satan has meant for evil and turn it around for good. That's why his title is the Redeemer. And I know that you've gone through pain and suffering. But let me suggest to you that the very pain and suffering you've gone through, God, if you will let him have the controls of your life, will take those justifiable hurts and make them glories that only you can know. Glories that only you can be thankful for. Only God can do that. I talked to somebody recently who had been molested all their life, molested by a stepfather, then molested by brothers, then molested by uncles. What can God have for me, was her cry. What can God have for me? So she decides to follow Jesus because he's the only man in her life. And you watch and see as she follows Christ, how she will be used, because I can't do it, you can't do it, she will be used by God to reach other girls who are in the same case or experience the same thing. Nobody can minister to such situations but Jesus and a woman like that to hurting people. And only, please hear me, only God can take a horrible, wicked situation, and through him, the very one who was sinned against and offended can say, I now, knowing what I know now, and having God like I have him now, would not change a thing. I can tell you that is the life I live now. I rejoice that I can say, I thank God for the stuff I went through in my life, because you know what? Now, knowing him like I know him now, I wouldn't change a thing. He wants to bring you back. God's business. He's got a purpose for your life. But write down this argument. I'm going to give you several arguments. Number one, why God's purpose can't be done in my life. Why I can't be about God's business. Number one, we say, I was hurt by another Christian. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. But every one of us have been hurt by another Christian. Now, first of all, keep this in mind. Satan's not stupid. If you're a Christian, what's the best way to get at another Christian. Use a Christian. If the world out there says, I hate you, you silly Christians, you know, I'm going to smack you around. Well, we expect that from the world. But if a Christian tells a lie about us, that hurts. Why? Because we're in the family. Somehow we're offended, defrauded, ripped off. And that hurts. You see, that's why we have our justifiable pain. Hey, a Christian ripped me off. I was hurt. Okay, watch. That happens. But why did you stop going to church? Better to obey the Bible, even though, listen, you and I were sinned against. Go to Matthew chapter 18, and the Bible says, if anyone has sinned against you, go to your brother and tell him his fault between you and him alone. Now watch. If you've been hurt, I've been hurt. The Bible says if we've been hurt, to go to the person that hurt us and tell them, you hurt me. You know what we do? We don't obey God. We don't obey him. I don't even think we care to obey him. We pick up the phone and we tell somebody, do you know what happened? So-and-so just hurt me. And that person who attacked you and sinned against you, because we handled it wrong, we now enter into their sin. We had V1 speed, but we never matured to V2 and got off the ground. You see, for us who've been hurt, V2 or flying is, that guy hurt me, I'm going to go at him and say, listen, you hurt me right here. When you said this, it was not true. And go to him alone. And the Bible says if he repents, you've gained your brother. If he doesn't repent, keep reading the chapter. It tells you exactly what to do. People don't want to do that anymore. We call ourselves Christians, and we run people over with our mouth, and we never think about it again. It's evil. It's wrong. We should be about God's business. And so when somebody says someone hurt me, we understand that. But you know what? Why did you take it out on God? And why did you appropriate that hurt and that spiritual retardation upon you? It makes no sense. It makes no sense at all. If my neighbor's kids are fighting one another, they don't come over and slap me. That doesn't apply. If you're in an argument with a person, with a Christian, why would you walk out on God and slap him? That's not right. He wants you back, the very one who loves you. He wants you back. Hurt by another Christian, that's one thing, certainly true. Another thing is this, disappointed by leadership. That happens. Disappointed by leadership. And sometimes I wonder if God doesn't set leadership up in people's lives so that people don't look to the leadership. Does that make sense? You know what? Join the ministry. It'll make perfect sense. Some people look at church leadership like they walk on water. They don't walk on water. Sometimes they, you know, some people, they talk about their pastor or their church like it's God. Oh, he and oh, they and oh, it and oh, and you don't hear much of the Lord in there. Sometimes I wonder when the Lord pulls the carpet out and they all fall down or get humbled, it kind of gets everybody's attention back on the Lord. You know what I'm saying? Be careful of idolatry. But then the flip side is, church leadership could have hurt you at some point in time in your spiritual life. And so you don't follow God. Listen, God never told you to follow them. He told you to follow him. That's who I'm following. You mean, wait a minute, aren't you following the committee? There's no committee. Or aren't you following the vote? What was the vote? There's no vote. See this? Let's do this. And if leadership has wronged you in the past at the church that you were attending or even here, go to that person or go to them, talk to them. And if it's not reconciled, just find a church that teaches the Word of God. But don't hinder yourself. Don't hurt yourself anymore. Another thing is this. Keep this in mind regarding disappointment. Do you remember when Paul the Apostle was converted and he shows up in Jerusalem? Did the church leadership vote to receive Paul into the body or say, we don't want anything to do with the guy? They didn't want anything to do with him. No. He kills Christians. Well, that was his old life. Well, we're not all that sure about him. That had to hurt Paul. That's the wrong action on the church leadership in Jerusalem. That had to hurt. But then there's the kind of hurts that are right, and we handle them wrong. What's the right kind of hurts that we handle them wrong? Remember when Peter was enjoying fellowship with all the Gentiles in the book of Galatians, in the book of Acts, they're all having a great time together, and then the Jewish leadership shows up, and Peter cuts himself off from the fellowship of the Gentile Christians and pulls away from them, and then Paul shows up. Remember the Apostle Paul says, hey, Peter, come here, and he rebukes him in front of all the people, saying it wasn't right for you to separate fellowship, and he rebukes him to his face. Paul was right. Peter was wrong. It was done in front of everybody. And that had to hurt Peter's heart, don't you think? How do you handle things like that? How do I handle things like that? It's important. We read the Bible. There's very, very differing situations, but how do we handle the difficulties? We can be disappointed, and maybe we shall in time be disappointed with church leadership. The church, the institution of the church, it is infallible by God. It was God's heart. But the church is fallible. The church is fallible. There's only one that's infallible, and that's the Lord. How about this argument? People say, you know what, I'm not going to church anymore because I disagreed with a church action. With a church action. I tell you, I'm so glad to be able to say this morning. I've gotten a lot of heat waiting months to hire a high school pastor. And I've gotten a lot of notes from you and a lot of heat. I'm so glad to say that I didn't respond to your notes or to your heat. You know what I did? I don't know if you like it or not. The beautiful thing is, it doesn't matter. I prayed and I said, Lord, no more with this youth. No more. God, you bring a man that's going to stay here. And you bring a man that's your man. And I told the Lord, I am not going to pick him. You have to pick him. And so we fasted and prayed for months. And people were saying, where's the pastor? Come on, put somebody in there. And I got notes. Just hire somebody. I was not going to do that again. And you didn't like it. You know what? I told the staff, we're waiting. We're going to let God bring the man. And we're going to let God tell us who the man is. And so when we had an idea, not sure, I got the staff together and I said, listen, this is what we're going to do. On this date, you are going to fast and pray all day for me. I'm going to fast and pray all day and hear from the Lord. Now that put all of us in the same pot, right? We're all committed to that. So we began praying. And God is so faithful. Listen, if we will wait and seek his face and pray, you know what? By the end of that day, it was December 30th. I won't forget it forever. God spoke so clear that night who the high school pastor was to be. So you know what? While you were worshiping, we were over there laying hands on him and commissioning him into the service, into the work of the Lord. But you know what the beautiful thing is? I made sure as we were praying that the board didn't make that decision. The congregation didn't make the decision. I didn't make the decision. Who made the decision? God made the decision. And we commended him into the hands of God. Why? This is all God's anyway. It's his. You might say, well, who is it? Who is it? Well, you'll find out. But the cool thing is, you might say, oh, I wanted the other guy. Well, you know what? Regarding church decisions, a lot of times I don't agree with them. I thought you're the senior pastor. I am the senior pastor. But if you attend here or if you serve here, you know that we lean upon God. Let's see what the Lord wants. And so personally, I would have grabbed somebody else and put them to the task. But when you wait upon the Lord, he has a way of changing things. And it's kind of weird because God speaks so clear, and then you walk away saying, God, are you sure? I mean, no, Lord, forgive me. I didn't mean that. I mean, he knows. Isn't that funny? I would pick things. I would grab the wheel from God and steer it instead. And the Lord says, no. He makes the decision. But what about in your life where a church made a decision and it hurt you and so you left that church? Was it for the right reasons? This is another big one. By the way, these arguments are according to George Barna in the Barna poll in his books. This one is, I wanted church a certain way. I didn't go back to church because I wanted church a certain way. Well, what way is that? I wanted it this way. There's over 1,000 people in this room. We probably have 2,000 opinions if we're to take a poll on how a church should be. Well, I think it should be like... No, I think it should be... Wait a minute. The way a church should be is called the book of Acts. That's how God wants a church. Have you noticed when Jesus gave birth to his church, he didn't take a poll? He didn't ask. So listen, my friend, make sure you're following Jesus instead of people. Make sure you're leaning on the Lord and not church leadership. That's important. Very important. And then we look to our third and final point this morning. And why should I go back to church? Because it's God's offer to us, to you. It's what God offers us. Now, let me be the first to tell you that the structure is nothing. The name of a church is nothing. It's the spirit of the church. Is that church Bible dependent? Is that church Holy Spirit led? Is that church growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus? That's the church. So please understand that when I say when God makes us an offer, the offer that he makes is for us to be an active, viable, healthy, meaningful partner within the church. I'm going to give you a couple things. You ready? Number one is this. His offer that he gives to you on why you should come back to church, he gives you the power to forgive people. That's why you should come back. He'll give you the power to forgive. Listen, I know you've been hurt, and I know you may be hurting now, but guess what? If you're not fellowshipping in God's church, you're sinning. So don't do that anymore. Find a place. And when you find a place, when you get right with the Lord, he's going to say to you, now I want you to forgive that person. And you say, Jack, why should I forgive them? They were wrong, I was right. I know. You should forgive them for your own spiritual growth and development. Did you know that? And we can be a wonderful, peace-loving, spirit-filled Christian. If we entertain that for a while, it begins to rob us of our joy. That person's sin against us is getting under the skin of our heart, so to speak. You know what I'm talking about? No? You don't? Okay, well, I'll tell you how it is. It starts eating you up. And if you let it go, a root of bitterness will start to grow. And then every time you even hear somebody's name, that's like their name. You can have a wonderful day and somebody says, oh, hey, Joe, look. And the guy's name was Joe that hurt you. And this guy, he's innocent, but his name's Joe and you can't stand him because his name's Joe. And it's eating you up. It will kill you spiritually. Let me put it to you like this. Is everybody awake? Listen, this is a punch here. If someone hurt you and you're taking it on God and you're not fellowshipping with God's people, you're not being used by God anymore, you're drying up, why are you allowing that person who hurt you to have so much power and control over your life? What are you doing? Jesus says, come here, I'll give you the power to forgive them and you'll be set free. Until you do that, my friend, you are allowing them power to control you. And Jesus says, listen, if you do not forgive your brother, neither will I forgive you. You say, well, thank you, Lord, if the guy hurt me and now you're hurting me. No, Jesus is saying, come on, issue forgiveness. I'll give you the power to do it. And then you and I can fellowship together and away we go. God wants their to be unity in our lives. So go and make it right. Freedom and the power to forgive. That's what he'll give us. Another thing is that he wants us to be forgiven. We need to confess to God our wrong. God says in Isaiah chapter 1 verse 18, come now. I love it. He says, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, I shall make them as white as wool. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat of the good of the land. Come now, let us reason together. The word in the Hebrew is come now, let's argue. Bring your justifiable hurt, God says, to my throne. Bring it and argue with me. Tell me all about your pain, God says. Let it out. We would say today, go before the throne of God and have a good cry. Give him all your reasons. Why you would never step foot in a church again because a Sunday school teacher hurt you, or a pastor hurt you, or somebody in the pews hurt you. And Jesus says, what does that have to do with the price of tea in China? He wouldn't say that, but what does that matter? Jesus would say, I'm not that pastor. I'm not that Sunday school teacher. I'm your Lord and your Savior. I want you back in the church of fellowship where I'm moving. Being forgiven. Telling God all about it. And then he offers us again what we once knew. That's the real us, the real you and the real me. Remember that, Christian? Remember when we came to the Lord? Remember how crazy we were? You accepted Jesus? Not even sure what you're getting yourself into. You just heard a message. You knew it was true. This is true. And there was a stamp, as it were, embossed on your heart. God is saying, I'm talking to you. Remember that day? And you went forward, or you raised your hand, or you prayed, and whatever and however. And your life changed. You were excited. In fact, remember your family told you to just be quiet. You're talking about God all the time. You're driving us nuts. Remember that? You went down and you bought a Bible. That freaked you out because you couldn't wait to get down to the Christian bookstore to buy a Bible. But then you had it and you would go like this. I mean, you would like, where do I put it? Remember that? It's like, oh my gosh. And you set it down and you kind of tuck it into bed. I mean, it's like it's breathing there. Remember that? You looked at it like, wow. And you opened it up, and how did God know that the chapter you were going to be reading that day has to do exactly with your life for that day? He tells the church at Ephesus, and this is a frightening thing. The church at Ephesus was huge. Tons of people, all kinds of ministries. They had all kinds of ministries for everything. Their bulletin looked like a phone book. You know what happens to churches that get big and busy? If they don't watch out, if they don't stay humble, if they don't pray and seek the Lord, they're going to hear something like this. You have left your first love. Repent, therefore, and do your first works, lest I come and remove your witness from you. We know ministries where that's happened. Love him. That's all he asks. You want to do the work of God? Believe on him whom God has sent. Be hot-hearted again for Jesus. Those were great days. And I thank God that when you walk with him, those days don't have to be in the past.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called Why Should I Go to Church? It's a part of Pastor Jack's series simply called Why Should I?, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, recently, we brought you another one of Pastor Jack's topical series called The Problem with Jesus. And this four-part series called The Problem with Jesus has been talked about as quite a useful tool and study series for effective evangelism. Well, Real Radio listeners are still getting in touch and requesting The Problem with Jesus. So we're extending our offer. We'll send you the 4-DVD set for your tax-deductible gift of any amount to the ongoing outreach of Real Radio. Now, whether you call, click, or write, be sure to mention that DVD series by name. It's called The Problem with Jesus. You can visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. And it's real easy. You'll know right where to point and click. That's realradioactive.org. Our telephone number, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. Or if you'd like, you can write to us at Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And of course, all of our contact info can be found real easily at realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. Thank you. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.